Oh yes. Oh God, be the glory, great thing He has done. So lovely the world that He gave us His Son. That is life atonement for sin. For the life gift that all men. Oh yes, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice. Oh, give me praise. Praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh God, to the Father, to Jesus, the Son, and give Him the glory. Praise the Lord for your heart, for our heart, and there is grace. Oh, praise the Lord, oh, praise the Lord. Oh, let the people rejoice. Oh, God, to the Father, to Jesus. Hallelujah. We give Him all the glory today in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Somebody asked me Friday night, I answered that question about the symbol of our faith. And the pillar of fire is a symbol of our faith. Because in the wilderness journey, hallelujah, in the night, it was that light that showed the way in the wilderness. Praise God. And God is telling us in this age, this dark apostate age, this is the darkest, one of the darkest hour of Christianity. Christian faith has been messed up, the greatest in another realm in this age. And so God also came by a pillar of fire to show us the way out. All you saints of light proclaim, Jesus, the light of the world, love and mercy in His name. Jesus, the light of the world. Oh, hallelujah. We walk in the light. Oh, beautiful light. Oh, come with the pure drops of mercy and light. Oh, fly on around us by day and by night. Oh, Jesus, the light.
Say it again.
Oh, hallelujah, we are in the light. Oh, beautiful light. Oh, bound with the pure drops of mercy abound. Oh, shine on around us by day and by night. Oh, Jesus, the light of the world. Let's pick our Bibles and pick a text before we sit down. Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. The fifth church age. Church age number 5. Hallelujah. What is the name of the first church age? Ephesus. Eh? If you know, you say boldly. The first age is what? Second. Say very loud. Second is what? Third is what? And the fourth is what? Patera. Thank you very much. The fifth church age is Sardis. Amen. Sardis. Verse 1. Chapter 3. Revelation. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write. This thing say he that had the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. And the church will say, amen. God bless you. Be seated. We'll continue our study of the seven church ages. I want you to listen very, very carefully, because it will determine your faith, this age that we are in. This knowledge will determine. It is the rock upon which the believer in this age will stand. The age of the rock upon which this believer will, the believer in this age will stand, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Your faith in this age will be determined by what we are saying now, this revelation. God reserved this revelation to this age to bring it out like this. And when I'm preaching now, I know there's something God has decided to do using this ministry. I am not just talking to you people sitting down here. I'm talking to the bride of Christ worldwide. Millions of people are connected now, listening. If they are not listening now, they will certainly listen later through the broadcast from the platform we have, the television and the internet. And many people, the response we are having all over the world is firing us to go ahead, to know that we are not wasting our effort. Praise God. Praise the Lord. And we are looking at this fifth church age. If you are joining us for the first time in this broadcast, we have started long before now, and we have looked at what God was telling us concerning the period of the salvation of grace, through grace, the divine agenda. And all we are doing is looking at how God, in his foreknowledge, had put it down to let us know how Satan will walk in the church to try to kill the light, and the standard that God raised throughout this period of salvation, known as the day of redemption, known as the day of salvation, known as the great day of the Lord. The day that God is showing his mercy, gathering his people for homecoming before he will come and destroy all the evil ones and their works and come down here and establish an everlasting kingdom with Christ as the King of Kings, with us ruling with him as kings. A rule of theocracy, a rule that God himself, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, he will come and take over his earth and rule here. But for now, Satan has taken over and thinks he has succeeded. But God has an agenda. God can never be defeated. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so, he let these revelations be encoded in the book of Revelation, waiting for the appropriate time. Remember, Apostle Paul said something. Can we read it? In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And verse 1, 2, 3. Concerning the coming of the Lord. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, concerning the rapture, that you be not soon shaken. He was saying in the first church age, in mind there will be trouble, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Because he kept saying, Christ is coming soon, Christ is coming soon. And people were getting agitated, people were responding in a manner that attracted his attention. And by revelation, he saw something that will guide the believer to know where to stand. And in verse 3, this is what he said. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. This is my emphasis. Before Christ will come, the man of sin, the son of perdition, is the tool, the human tool, vessel of the Antichrist. That man, he said, will be revealed. Amen. When he said, will be revealed, praise the Lord, it means he will be known. He will be known. And the way I am saying this, for political Christians and religious, social religious people, they'll be very angry with me. And they'll be saying, I am preaching against a church. If you listen to me very well, I don't preach against the church. I am not preaching against the people there. We are not called to uplift a church. Hallelujah. If I be lifted up, that is not said the Lord. We are to lift up Jesus, not to lift up any man, any church. Hallelujah. It's part of the Antichrist spirit, his operation in the church, that makes us to be angry when your church or your pastor is spoken against. You are not listening to what I am saying he is doing. You are only concerned by the fact that I am mentioning him. Brethren, there is light and darkness. When light comes, darkness disappears. Light comes to expose. Amen. And so, the time will come, Apostle Paul prophesied, that man of sin will be known. How will he be known? It is by God coming to decode what he had encoded. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in this age, the last church age that we are in now, he has been revealed. We know him. From the scriptures, we know him. Amen. We know the seat. We know the office. We may not know the man, but we know the office that he occupies. And according to this Bible, praise the Lord. I'm not saying it according to me, it's according to the Bible. And when we get there in our teaching, we will break it down. We will see who the office is. According to the Bible. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We are privileged people. We are privileged people. Because what we know now, not everyone knows. And we didn't go to any school. We didn't pay school fees. Amen. To know this. Amen. It's just God. Let's clap our hands for our God again. So you will allow me to do some reading. You will allow me. I have some reading to do because there is a way William Branham brought some of the things I'm saying. That it is better you hear it. And knowing that not many of you have his own preaching, his own sermon on the exposition of the seven church ages. Praise God. But there is something about the living ministry. William Branham preached it from the understanding that God had given him. And remember, that a lot of inter-message believers, they hold on to a quote that William Branham said, say what the tapes say. And so because William Branham said, say what the tapes say, all they do is just to come to church and play the tape for you to hear. And they say, I have no other message. I have no other, if you have no other message, then why are you a pastor? Anybody can be pastor now. Do I need any special calling to come and be playing tape for you to hear? Amen. That is another antichrist spirit that entered the entire message. Amen. No. When somebody was speaking with me recently, and they asked me, a minister in the church said, sir, this revelation about marriage in deceit, he said, is it William Branham that said it, or it is my own revelation? And I had to explain to him, praise the Lord. I didn't hear it from William Branham. It's my own revelation. Now, Pastor Moses, what gives you the audacity to lay it like that when you are not a prophet to the generation? Amen. Listen, church. The fivefold ministry is a living ministry. That is why there is the fivefold ministry. Praise the Lord. You know what is a living ministry? A living ministry because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. He has chosen to watch over his church using the fivefold ministry. Therefore, anywhere Satan appears in another realm, in the absence of the star messenger for the age, in a particular locality, every locality has her peculiarity. Hallelujah. That's why I disagree with those general overseers that preach and record a tape in the headquarters and send it to their branches. So that according to them, there will be unity of faith, unity of understanding. It is wrong. Because for today, there is what God wants you to listen to at the Jesha. Amen. Hallelujah. And those gathering at Bagada, there are some that are, there is what God wants them at Bagada to listen to. And it is the same spirit. God knows what you require. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You can be cooking food in your house. It's from the same kitchen. But when it is time to eat, one of the children can come and say, no, I want to eat yam. I don't want to eat rice. Hallelujah. Because that is what he wants at that time. And a good mother, we know that this person needs yam. That's why the body they need looking for yam. You will cook yam and give him and give other children rice. It's from the same mother giving them what they need at that very hour. Praise the Lord. So it's wrong. Hallelujah. When will Abraham emphasize that once you are married, there can be no divorce? No divorce. And then the enemy said, you see, once you're married, no divorce. Then they come. Then somebody will come and disguise himself as a believer. Meanwhile, it's an assignment against a spiritual sister. The devil sent them from the marine kingdom to finish her ministry because she's always prophesying. She's always exposing them. Then the man will come on assignment and walk his way. And because he's on assignment, and then he will now come. And before you know what, he's a prominent minister in Bride Assembly. And before you know what, he's a prominent worker, very spiritual. Every group, he belongs to every group. Every group, he belongs there. Oh, what a wonderful brother. Not knowing he's on assignment. But how shall we know it's an assignment? We all know it to be a brother. Well, let the grace of God give you vision, give you revelation. And then he becomes the desire of every single sister. And then before you know what, he goes for that spiritual sister that they sent him on assignment. Then after marrying her, then he reminds her, you know, it's for better, for worse, no divorce. All this your prophecy, it will stop. The Bible says you should obey your husband. In fact, that your bride itself, I've discovered they are false. You are not going there again. And this your Bible is too much. You don't read too much. You don't pray too much. For this house, there's small time. You open one room, you can't see one shrine where they inside. Hey. Then he run to the pastor, see what is happening. And then the pastor sent for the brother. The brother said, please, I beg. I am not coming. And then you say, and then they are tormenting that sister. Then a blind pastor will come and say, well, there is nothing you can do. You have married. It is your cross. It's not your cross, oh! So in this age, through the fivefold ministry, God raised a standard to counter that. There is marriage in deceit. That marriage will be broken without going for prayers. Break it. And heaven will say amen. So if there is anybody on assignment against anybody in this church, he who join you here, join you in righteousness. And in righteousness we shall scatter that thing. God has given us power to bind and to loose. Praise the Lord. Why am I saying this? Because in my study of the seven church ages, I began to see even deeper things. That give me clearer picture. That's why I'm saying this. That if you are going to read word for word, chapter for chapter, from what William Branham preach, you will not get me. But the important thing is that however I said it, is the same picture that William Branham conveyed. But God will enable me, say, bring it down to our level, that will make the picture even clearer and clearer. Nothing more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because many of us, if you people notice, those who were reading this, you follow me when I was quoting. When I read the Seven Church Age book, there was a particular paragraph as I was reading, I jumped it. When William Branham said that when they were talking about celebrating the birthday of Jesus Christ on the 25th. Then he said, when we all know that Jesus Christ was born, I think it's either April or so. He said, when we all know that Jesus Christ was born in April. That is what that paragraph said. I circled that paragraph. So I jumped it. Because Jesus Christ was not born in April. Praise God. We used to read it before like that. But when God let us know which key we have in the Bible, and we discover that from the scriptural point of view, we have proved it that Jesus Christ was born between September and October. Praise the Lord. We are not copied at this. I am preaching with all authority. I have my backing from the scripture. Praise the Lord. So listen carefully to this thing we are saying. It will help you. First and foremost, praise the Lord. Let's look at what the Bible says concerning this. What William Bryan himself, he brought out from a history to let us understand what the city of Sardis is. And that is in page 243, if you are here with your own, of the exposition of the seven church ages. Allow me to just do small reading. But there are things I will say here today that will make us understand what this age was all about. And remember, I continue to remind you that whatever was in every age, the preceding age went to the succeeding age with all the characteristics. It didn't drop because a new age came. The new age only came with his antics to add to what he had been doing in the preceding age. You have to take note of that. Now, in page 243, where he spoke about the city of Sardis, this is what the history says. Sardis was the capital of ancient Lydia. It passed from the hands of Lydian monarchs to the Persians, and thanks to Alexander the Great. It was sacked by Antiochus the Great. The kings of Pergamos then succeeded to the dominion until the Romans took over. In the time of Tiberius, it was desolated by earthquakes and plagues. Today, it is a heap of ruins and uninhabited. This city was at one time very important commercially. Pliny said that the art of dyeing wool was invented here. It was the center of wool dyeing and carpet weaving. It had a goodly amount of silver and gold in the area, and it is said that gold coins were first minted there. It also had a slave market. Now, the religion of this city, and please, it is the religion that is important. Because you have to understand it to link it to what was going on in the Christian faith at that age. And why God chose that city to depict the characteristics that the fifth church age will go through. I read on. The religion of this city was the impure worship of the goddess Cybele. The massive ruins of the temple may still be seen. You will recall that in the Pergamian age, I mentioned that the Babylonian concept of mother and son, known as Semiramis and Ninos, became the Cybele and Dios of Asia. The attributes attached to these two are most enlightening as we view them side by side. In Pergamos now, he was the sun god. She, the moon goddess. That was the same thing here. He was the Lord of Heaven. This sun and mother worship. Sun and mother worship has been going on decades before Christianity began. And it was in the age of Pergamos that this idolatry and Christianity was married. The same thing comes up now again. This was their characteristic at that time. He was the Lord of Heaven, she, the Queen of Heaven. He, the revealer of goodness and truth, she, the woman now, the mother, of gentleness and mercy. He, the mediator, She, the mediatrix. So that you understand why they prayed through Mary. He, with the key that opens and shuts the gates of the invisible world, and she, with an identical key, doing likewise. He, as the judge of the dead, she, as standing at his side. He, being killed, raised, and ascended into heaven. That is what they believe. That Nimrod was, that is what they believe. They were worshipping the death, the resurrection, and the ascension of a human being. That idol worshippers, that was a common religion at that time. So that you'll understand how Satan moved and married the church with that type of worship. And people are supposedly worshipping the God of Israel, not knowing they are worshipping Satan. He being killed, raised, and ascended unto heaven, she, the woman now, carried their bodily by the Son. And the Catholic believe that Jesus Christ ascended. I mean, Mary also ascended bodily. Now in Rome, this same God is given the title of our Lord. He is called the Son of God, while she is called the Mother of God. Now that is what we found back there in the other two ages, where the mother and son concept took on such tremendous proportions. But now notice that even as it was back in Babylon that the worship of the son began to lose out in favor of the worship of the mother, so she literally began to take the place of the son. We see in this age that the pagan worship of Sardis was the worship of the woman. It is Sibel alone, not Sibel and Doris. The mother has literally taken the place of the son, endowed with the merits of Godhead. All one needs to do is go over her various titles and record the lovely attributes accorded Mary by the Roman Church to understand where the religion of this age came from. Two things really struck me with force as I looked into this worship of Sibel. One was the fact that she wore a key like Janus, which gave her the same authority as Janus, key to heaven and earth and the mysteries. And the fact that the worshippers whip themselves until blood spurts from their bodies, which thing is done right today by the Catholics who feel they are suffering like the Lord. In fact, that this is the age of the first real break with Papa Rome. This is the age that Protestantism started. I take it again. The fact that this is the age of the first real break with Papa Rome that actually flourished, no doubt, caused the Jezebel prophetess to consolidate and emphasize her doctrine of Mariolatry in decided opposition to the Protestants, who denied her any part whatsoever in the plan of salvation apart from her favor with God as the virgin chosen to bear the babe. As Luther crystallized the doctrine of justification by faith, they held to works, penance, prayers, and other unscriptural means. And as the freed Christians glorified the Son, the Roman Catholics increased their deification of Mary until the 20th century saw in a position to most high-ranking Roman theologians, Pope Pius literally exhort Mary to glorification in a resurrected body. That doctrine is absolutely the Babylonish one of the son carrying the mother bodily into heaven. No wonder this fifth age goes right along with the other ages and will do so until it ends in a lake of fire where the whore and her children are killed in the second death. There it is, Mariolatry, the worship of Sibel. By the way, did you know that Sibel was the Ashtar that Jezebel was priestess to and caused Israel to stumble by the licentious rites that she conducted? Yes, that is who she was in the Bible, unquote. Praise the Lord. That is a brief picture of what that city is in relation to this age. And this age, according to theology, theologians all agree to this, started from AD 1520 AD 1520 to AD 1750. It is also known as the age of reformation. Praise the Lord. Because this is the age. Amen. This is the age. It is the beginning of the restoration of the corrupted meal. Which meal? Jesus Christ spoke of this particular, look at the age of Pergamos. Let's read it. Matthew chapter 13. Hallelujah. The age of Thyatira, which is the fourth church age. Verse 33, Matthew chapter 13. He said, another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took, and hid in three measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. And this is speaking about the fourth church age. That woman is the Roman church. In the Pergamian church age, the third church age, that was the age that paganism and Christianity married. Politics and Christianity married. Idol worship and Christianity married. State and Christianity married. The effect of it, praise God, was what brought about the change of every doctrine, including the three works of grace, which is the three measures of meal that Jesus Christ was speaking. Justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. By the time we come to the church age, praise the Lord, this Sadducean church age, this is the age in God's divine agenda that he was going to begin to move the world out of darkness, begin to restore again the light that has been closed. Those three measures of meal, God in his divine agenda, he was going to begin to restore them. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It is the age of the fulfillment of the growing seed parable in Mark chapter 4. Can we read it? Verse 26. Mark chapter 4. And verse 26. The growing seed. The growing seed. I'm going to say some things here now. And he said, so is the kingdom of God. As if a man should cast seed into the ground. What does happen? And should go and sleep. Arise night and day. And the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how that seed is going to grow. But the next thing he sees, for the earth, this is the process that seed will grow, bringeth forth fruit of herself. First, what comes out? The blade. Then, what comes out? The ear. After that, what happens? The full corn in the ear. Three stages. Verse 28 again. Three stages. First, the blade. Second, the ear. After that, the full corn. Three stages. Three works of grace. God is going to restore the church one after the other. Take note. Jesus Christ said, except a corn of wheat. Oh, glory be to God. He said, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abideth alone. Amen. See, these things excite me when I catch to see how God runs his church. Satan, we think that he has finished God's program. Unknown to him, God has already prophetically set that in motion. There is the gospel according to science. God, Jesus was always using sowing, reaping, plants, farm, and all that to let us understand the church. His own creation, even nature, is speaking about salvation and redemption. To let you know that nothing is happening that is surprising God himself. Hallelujah. It's a principle of sowing and reaping. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Unless you catch this revelation, you won't know why God allowed Jesus to die.